Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 5, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wild world of wrestling and witchcraft. On Wednesdays, sponsored by Partake Brewing, makers of the best tasting, lowest calorie, non-alcoholic beer on the market today. They're not officially sponsoring us yet. That's okay. We're manifesting this in real time. So hashtag wild on partake. Let's make this happen. Today's guest has a star-studded resume. She became a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader at the tender age of 18. Talk about living the American dream. She's a former member of Christy Hemme's burlesque group, Perfect Angels. That's two R's to spell perfect, and angels spelt with a Z. Let's talk about how circa early 2000 fabulous that is. She also moved to LA to pursue modeling, acting, dancing, competed in the Lingerie Football League. I'm sure there was a bowl. She became a licensed cosmetologist. She was a former Impact Knockout. And you may know her best for her current role as the AEW superstar. A girl after my own heart, a Jill of all trades, ladies and gentlemen, my girl, Rebel. Well, thank you for taking the time to do my podcast.
Thank you for having me. You know, so many people speak so highly of you and just love you so much.
Oh.
And I know that we all met briefly in Canada.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could tell your energy is super cool. So I was like, yes, I have to come on your show.
Well, I'm sure. Very, very thankful. Like you said, we had a brief interaction in Toronto, but I'm really excited to get to know each other on like a more intimate / professional level.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about a few different things I'm really excited to talk to you about. I can't decide which one to start, but I'm going to go with the hometown thing. So, being from Oklahoma, how much do you love Zach Bryan?
I didn't know that he was from Oklahoma.
No way.
No.
I'm pretty sure. Or at least.
I mean, I've been removed from there. I mean, I was just sure. There, but all my family is still there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I left home when I was 18, even though I go back, you know, for holidays and stuff.
Sure.
But, if anybody or anything that comes good, I like, you know, I'm a bandwagon. Like when OU is doing good, then I'm like, hell yeah, OU. And if OSU is doing good, I'm like, hell yeah, OSU. Someone, you know, Carrie Underwood, Reba McEntire, you know, like they're Okie. So I'm like, hell yeah. I'm all about anything Oklahoma. If people are doing well in Oklahoma, I'm all about it.
I love that. I get that vibe as well. Like, Oklahoma people really stick together, and it's, like, so much hometown support.
It is. Well, there's very few things. Like it's really big in church, really yep. big in chain food restaurants, and really big in sports. So they all just, like, you know, bond over those three things usually.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, let's talk about the other side of the American dream. Is you were a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader at 18. That is so fucking amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I originally made it right out of high school. Like, I would go to high school. I wake up at like 7 in the morning to go to high school. I would have to leave early and drive. I'd have a family member drive me 4 hours to Dallas to make practice by 5. We'd practice from 10 or 11, and then they would drive me back. I'd either sleep or finish homework on the way back to Oklahoma, sleep for a few hours, get up, go to high school. That's how it originally started with the Dallas Cowboys. But I definitely cherish those times, and it really built who I am. And, like, I feel like because I was – you know, hazed through their veteran and rookie type of thing. It's very similar to wrestling. That's why I was able to be like, yes, I know, respect, and like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and like, you know, the people that come before you and all, you know, just all those things that you do that is, you know, it's a step, you know, you wish that you Once you get to the veteran status, then you appreciate, how you came up through the system.
Sure. Oh my God, sure.
So yeah, it definitely helps me prepare for wrestling.
I imagine because I started wrestling when I was 18. So
Okay.
I was wondering if you felt that there was parallels between Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, which is like iconic. Like, that's really a part of like not American history, but it's pop culture icon status. And I can only imagine all women, like you said, very cliquey, probably a hierarchy system. How did you stay grounded and get through that kind of like pressure and cliqueyness? And probably like there's so much with self-image, just like wrestling. How did you get through that so level-headed? Like you obviously have a tenacious work ethic. Like you're basically in high school, still doing homework, traveling 4 hours there, 4 hours back. Like that is not easy.
Yeah, I would say grounded wise, that's my family. Like, that
Okay.
family keeps you grounded
Yeah.
and like remind you, I don't think so. You don't get to get a big head.
Yeah.
That's my family for it, would keeps me grounded. But
Yeah.
I remember going to the games and cheering for the games and like people just screaming for you, and after the show, like just mobs of fans, pictures, autographs. It was just crazy. And then
Wow.
as soon as you got home, like nothing. And like you go to the grocery store and like nothing. You know what I mean? It's like during the games or during specific, they know that the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are going to be there, or the Dallas
Yeah.
Cowboys are going to be there. Like it's mayhem. But
Yeah.
as soon as you leave that parking lot, it's back to normal. So that's very humbling
That's a
and
good
very
point.
grounding.
Yeah.
Looks wise, I mean, just like in wrestling, you have to keep fit and you have to keep up with your craft. And that was the same with the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. They, at the time, and now it's different, but at the time, it was very hardcore, where there was weekly weigh-ins,
Oh, so it was like
and
developmental for me. Oh my God.
yes. Weekly weigh-ins, and a lot of times there was mind games with that, because like if a girl got an appearance, then maybe they would not put her in the front of the dance line, they'd put her in the back. Or if a girl was a good dancer, but maybe they would mess with her about her weight. I mean, there was girls, they wanted to keep them a certain look, and if the girls were didn't look that way, then there definitely would be put on weight warning and weight probation. It'd be benched from a game. And there was times where they would we rehearsed in the headquarters, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and Dallas Cowboys headquarters in Valley Ranch. And they would post your weight, what your weight should be, and where you should lose it. And anybody, like they did tours of our locker rooms all the time. Players could go see that, the public could go see that if they were taking a tour.
My God.
And of course, all your fellow cheerleaders, your friends, they would all see that. And sometimes, if you didn't lose it by the time that you were supposed to lose it, you would get benched from a game. And
Unbelievable.
I lost. I remember one time I was on weight warning and I had to lose 7 pounds in 5 days. And I remember eating cans of tuna to just like to survive. And then I went right before practice. I knew there was going to be a weigh-in and they were going to check my weight. And I sat in a sauna and just drip, 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 drip. And then as soon as I got out, I fainted. And then
Of course.
no one was in this gym bathroom, thank goodness. I woke back up, showered off, went and I made weight for
My
them.
God.
So I did end up losing 7 pounds in 5 days. I know that
Jesus.
they don't get away with that these days
No.
now,
Thank
but
God.
that's the stuff that I had to do. I had to, with our pom-poms, the big fluffy pom-poms, those came very small, compacted, like Mylar type of strands. So you would have to separate them, fluff them, scrunch them, separate them, scrunch them, fluff them, separate, scrunch. And I literally takes 8 hours to do your palms. So I not only had to do mine, but my group leader, Regina, told me I had to go fluff her pomps. So it took me 2 days to get my pomps fluffed. It was
Of
brutal.
course.
Yeah,
Of course.
that wasn't brutal, but it is like you're just like just monotonous. It's like never ending. It's like, when will you get to the end? Never.
So you get PTSD every time you see a pom-pom, is what you're telling me.
I really do appreciate a good fluff palm, to be honest.
I love a fluff palm. Love this.
Also, like the rules, like when spoken to, you do not speak
Yeah.
unless spoken to,
Oh
and
my
you answer with
goodness.
yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I remember getting, we were practicing in the July heat, and we don't get water breaks unless they break us for water breaks. And I was dehydrated out in that July, Texas July heat. And I end
Jesus.
up getting a kidney infection because I was so dehydrated. So after
Oh
that
my
crash, thank goodness
goodness.
that was like, I think that was on Friday. So I went to the hospital after practice, the urgent care, and I got hydrated. I got the weekend to recover because if I didn't make practice on Monday, then I would have been benched. So those little crazy things like that, like and if when you do get a water break, you let the veterans go before you, and you go to the end of the line when you're a rookie, and then as you get a veteran, you don't have to wait in line. But those were some of the things that went
Unbelievable.
on.
I laugh because I get it. I
Yeah.
lived it. So please don't think I'm laughing at
No,
you.
I
I
don't at
feel it
all.
so deeply that I just, oh my goodness. Okay, so then attached to that, it's almost like paramilitary, this cheerleading hierarchy, but mixed with like old school wrestling rules. Now we all know, don't shit where you eat, don't date other wrestlers. How did they feel about cheerleaders and football players? Because that is the American couple that
Yeah.
we model ourselves after in high school. So were there rules behind dating
Absolutely.
football players?
Absolutely. There
Of
was
course there
no
were.
fraternizing with the football players. And there
Oh.
were girls that got booted, but the
Did
players,
they?
nothing happened to the players.
Of
And
course.
yeah, of course. So
Of
there
course
were
they did.
girls who did try to go against the rules, and they did. They caught them. And
Unbelievable.
but obviously nothing happened to the players, so there's also that rule.
Well, I can't say I'm surprised,
Right?
but
And those players, man, they would try hard. They would try hard.
oh, I bet they would. And I bet they would get zero recognizance. But yeah, a cheerleader, maybe really liked one. And yeah, see you later, job. Yeah. Well, I hope all those things are slowly balancing themselves out. Because wrestling, oh my God, I had taken 10 years off and coming back, it was this beautiful world of like understanding and like, a little bit of sprinkle a little HR training in there. And it was, I think there's a lot to be said about that old school mentality about respect because we do put each other's lives in danger. And there has to be a little bit of that. But also, the pendulum had swung too far one way. And I think with wrestling, it hasn't swung too far the other way. It's in this happy medium. It's not perfect, but I would
Definitely better than
say
what it was, yeah.
it's better than what it was.
Which, by the
So
way,
you,
you are on
yes.
fire at Impact
Oh,
right now. Man, I
thank
love your character. I
you.
love what you're doing with Kylan, and I love like you look great, and
Thank
you're just
you.
on fire right now.
Thank you so much. That means truly, truly, that means so much. Like I am really having the time of my life.
Good.
I'm so happy. And I think I'm lucky because the relationship I had with Impact and TNA back in the day is I have a lot of creative freedom and I get to put my spin on a lot of stuff. And I think, they always say the best performers, the best wrestlers, they really get to be authentic, just turned up to 11.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I'm
And
doing now.
when
So,
the public receives your ideas, and your creativeness, that's even
yes.
like times 10. It's like it's bad when you're like they let you do it, and then they're like, rah, 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 and you're like, I was being creative.
You're like, that was me. They don't like me. Because it was scary at first, right? Because a lot of that is like really organic stuff. Like this is who I am. Like I've been into witchcraft and occult my whole life. But with wrestling back then, like 2007, 2008, it was very like sexy blonde baby face versus evil brunette. And, you know, it was off the back of the Attitude Era. So they didn't want rock and roll witchy type characters. And I was, you know, all of 20 when I was signed to WWE. So I was, you know, yes, ma'am, no, sir. You want me to jump how high? Like, I'll get a stilt. Like, it's I'll get like I'll get a trampoline. You know what I mean? So I wasn't advocating the way I can as like a 37-year-old woman who's a mom who's had another career. So it's
Firefighter,
that I
right?
can't tell you. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. That's so
Oh,
impressive. I think that's the coolest thing
thank you.
ever.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I do love it. It's a lot because I've been working with wrestling and on my podcast and everything is going amazing, but things are getting really busy now and
Oh.
it's like, okay, I can't do all the things. So
Yeah.
something's got to give, but I have so much I give so much credit to that career and all the life experience, and I have an amazing crew and they've been with me with some really challenging times over the
How
past
do you
few years,
juggle?
so
How do you juggle about all that?
Caffeine. I'm also a single mom, and it's it's shift work. So I work like 7, 8 days a month, but it's 24-hour shifts. And my Google Calendar is a very meticulous, highlighted system. I have really amazing support with my family and friends, and
Oh, good.
my producer and editor of my podcast, Rochelle Duras, she's also kind of like my right-hand woman, my unspoken, underrepresented manager. So I have a lot of support, and that's what's helping me cope. But you're the same. You're a woman of a million trades. You're the Jill of all trades. You know, you went from Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, and then you moved to LA. You did the modeling, acting, dancing thing. How did you meet Christy Hemme? Was that pre-wrestling? Was that?
That was pre-wrestling.
Oh,
Yes.
how
We were
funny.
in a show group, a dancing, singing, fire twirling show group together in LA. And that's how I know her. And I call her Sunny, but I
Oh,
know
was that her stage name before?
in our dance group, yeah, in our performance
Okay.
group. So it was her nickname. That's because we always, because she was sunny side up.
Oh.
One, with her personality, and two, with her cute little round booty.
Oh, I love
But
that.
yeah, we met in LA doing the show group, and
Wow.
it was pre-wrestling. I remember when we were both going to go do the Diva Search
Oh,
together,
interesting.
and something happened where I had to go home because of a family emergency,
Okay.
and she went and she ended up winning the Diva Search. It was amazing. Isn't that crazy? Just how the world just
Well, I was just gonna
Where's
say, like that u universal divine timing thing, like it that wasn't your path.
right.
Okay, and then I remember the lingerie football league, and I remember you like outside of wrestling because you were like you are, but you were so stunning and you stood out so much that I actually, when I think of the league, I thought of you. And when I saw you in wrestling, I was like, "That's that girl." Okay, so let's just get this straight: Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, a perfect angel with Christy Hemme.
Yeah.
Then the lingerie football league,
Yeah.
and then wrestling. Okay, so you got to talk me. How did we get to wrestling?
Well, I guess I would start back in Owosso, Oklahoma,
Okay.
where I cheered for wrestling. And then I was on the wrestling
Ah.
homecoming court in high school. I would go
Okay.
to the away games with the guys and the different tournaments, and I would just go because I just loved mat wrestling so much, and I loved my
Okay.
friends that were in there, and I'd wrestle around the guys. But at the time, girls couldn't wrestle on the team.
Oh,
So they can now,
interesting.
but they couldn't at that time when I was in high
Okay.
school. But I just loved mat wrestling. And then so I guess now fast forward back to LA, where I played that full contact tackle football. I coached for Margarita Wrestling. Girls wrestling in a margarita mix. Very funny.
That has to be so bad for your pH.
Even though I cheered for wrestling in high school, at home, I wasn't allowed to watch WWE or WWF.
Okay.
And I wasn't allowed to watch soap operas. Those soap operas and the professional wrestling was considered slut TV. And I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Well, also, wrestling was just a male soap opera, so that's valid.
Yeah. Well, they love Rebel, that's for sure. Taya, not the most popular knockout, I think it's fair to say.
But it doesn't bother her, does it?
No, because she's Lucha Royalty. Nice athleticism there by Rebel.
You look amazing. I just, like, I know you're 25, yes, but I just want you to know you look fucking stunning.
Thank you.
You and I are not actually 25.
We're not. I'll tell you how old we are. We're
how old?
Perfect years old.
Thank you. Thank you. But I feel it in my brain.
that's my go to. Like, how old are you? I'm perfect years
perfect.
Old.
Perfect. Yeah. What does it matter? Time's not linear.
Right?
Like
30 is the new 20, and you know what I'm saying? So on and so on. It's just times have changed.
There's something,
and I feel like age doesn't really matter.
It doesn't, and I think everybody.
When I take pictures with 20-year-olds, I look at them. And I go, we look the same.
You know why? Because we abused the tanning beds, so we were like, you know, we need to reverse this process. We need all the creams, all the medical injectables, and like, if you really look at women over 35 in pro wrestling, they look younger. No shade, but they look younger than some of the 20-year-olds. I said what I said.
if not younger, just better.
Well, yeah, there we go. I didn't want to say all the things, so thank you for finishing it off. Okay, let's stay on track, okay? Your brain is worse than... We're both there. We're both going to have four conversations at the same time. How did you find wrestling?
So that's through Christy Hemme.
So it was the Diva Search, and then you decided to train?
She went on to do wrestling, and I went on to play football and continue. I think I was at a point where she had become the director of the Knockouts, and I had decided that I no longer wanted to be in front of the camera, and I was going to be an artiste behind the camera.
Artiste.
Yes. I wanted hair and makeup, and I went to school for it, and ready.
Licensed cosmetologist. Yes. We hear this. Yes. Yes.
And so I gave her a call, and I said, if you ever need a makeup and hair artist, you let me know. And she said, oh my God, I have this perfect role for you. And I was like, no, I'm not being in front of the camera anymore. I'm behind the camera. And she said, I don't think you can get into the makeup and hair department if you don't do this role first. You have to do this to get into and get in the department. And I was like, okay, I'll do it for my art. My mom flew to LA to drive with me and help move me to Louisville, Kentucky to train at OVW.
Okay.
I fell in love with wrestling day one of training. And it was like, it actually was like around February 14th. So every
really?
Valentine's Day, I celebrate my love with wrestling and my hate. But
Fine line.
Yeah, and so they said if you want to stick around, learn how to wrestle, and that's what I did, and trained at OVW, and then never looked back.
You transitioned into your hair and makeup role at AEW, probably taking a stand again, saying no more.
I did that again. In front of the camera. After I left Impact, I was like, you know what? Let's try again. And I started doing the hair and makeup. And then got thrown in front of the camera again. And at this point, I have now said, God, I hear you. I now know that your will for me is this. I'm going to accept it and quit fighting it. And
good for you.
Yeah, so I don't do the hair and makeup anymore. And just strictly on-camera talent,
On-air talent.
and that's what I plan to keep doing.
Good
I've
for
lost my passion for makeup and hair.
But the universe, like you said, God, universe, creator, whatever you believe in, the signs, the like, yeah, there's forward and then there's like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've accepted it because you are fabulous. Like, you are such a presence on camera.
Thank you. I really
Of
appreciate that.
course.
I've had a ball at AEW and
Good.
it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun at
Good.
Impact too. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
The knockouts, I feel like, is one of those things where at Impact, sorry to cut you off. It's just, I feel like as a female wrestler, it's just like one of those places where no matter where you are in your career, you get a little bit of an injection of something and you always take it wherever you go. Like, it's so family oriented in terms of like locker room, but it's smaller scale than everything. It's just a different vibe. So I feel like so much more bonded to you. Like, I love you anyways. We like this is so natural, but I feel like we share that history. Like, you've been a knockout, you will always be a knockout, and then same with me. And I feel like that's the thing that Impact does.
Yes, there is that bond of like, it's like Okies. They have that bond. And
That's what,
if you're like
yes,
us,
I
you have
get
that bond, right?
it. It's so true. And now you've started to dabble in your own fabulous podcast. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, it's Rebels Happy Hour, and that's for ad-free shows. And that kind of all started with Tony Schiavone. He
Oh,
came out to
interesting.
me and he said, "You know, there's a group chat about you." And I said, "What? No."
What?
Schiavone has his podcast and has his
Okay.
podcast with Conrad, and then they have like their top guys there, and then they have what
Yeah.
they call themselves. It's like it's not the Bad News Bears, but it's something like that. There's a group of them, and they call them something Bears. And they have
Okay.
this like group text, and I guess there's one created to talk about me. I don't know. I've not seen a text, but I've only been told about it. And so
Oh, that's
somehow that turned
hilarious.
into, "Would you want to do a podcast?" And I said, "I don't know." Because I just think I'm like, what would I talk about? Like, what would I?
Right.
And I have to like, it's a lot of stress to like have to think of like bringing on people,
Yeah.
for a show. And I didn't want that stress. I was like, I don't want
Okay.
to have to, haggle people about coming on my show. That it sounds so stressful to me. But I know you do it.
I'm always like, hey, I just have like delusional confidence. I'm like, want to hang out on my podcast?
You have this like you're like you seem like you're very social and you're fun and like you have that energy for it. I literally like I know
Thanks.
I'm when I'm talking like I love people and I'm like
Of
very
course.
when I'm around people, but when I'm not, I'm very much a hermit crab, very much just like, yeah.
I know I seem it, but I am totally extroverted introvert. Like, when we're like,
Yes.
there's certain people like you're increasing my vibration. I'm loving this. But after this, I will need to not talk for like an hour. It's I think so many people in entertainment are like this, and it's such a
Yeah.
misconception because we, like you said, we seem like tornadoes of social prowess, but it's playing a role to some extent.
Yeah. Or
So I feel you.
I light up when I'm around people, but also, and I want to be a light to others, but it also,
Yep.
it like I, and I feed off of people's energy too. And so like, it can be very
Yes.
draining, but not only is it draining, I just like, I don't know. Just stop and don't want to think.
I
So
get it. Oh, I totally get it.
back to the podcast, it became Rebels Happy Hour, and they said I could drink. And I look, I can do it if you let me have a drink. I'm so good. with people. I'm a lover when I drink, and so
okay,
like I'm a good drinker. Like,
yeah, you're a happy drunk.
I can handle my liquor. I can stay
good,
composed.
Yeah,
and so that's what we do. It's really like, remember that old show? You're from Canada, so I know that you might not. Cheers. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yes, classic.
So it's really like Cheers. It's like where all the top guys get together. We drink on the show, and we just drink together, and we shoot the shit. And that's really, it might be about wrestling. It might not. It might be about one of the guys' daughter's dance recital. It might be.
Oh, girl after my own heart. That's what this is.
I love it. Like, no pressure. And so every Sunday, like, no. It's no pressure. I get to have a drink. It just feels good. Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, they really lift me up and they make me feel better. And sometimes when they're having a bad day, I lift them up. And like, I have a co-host who's a stand-up comedian. His name is Corey Ryan Forrester. He's super freaking funny.
Okay.
And then we have another co-host who is with Ad-Free Shows, Paul Bromwell. So we just have so much fun. And I noticed that there was something special about this, the Rebels happy hour, is because when they had their Top Guy weekend, which is they all meet, it was around an AEW pay-per-view, and
okay,
they didn't have any Rebels happy hour. You know, there's like meet and greets, there's they live podcast and all that stuff. And
yeah,
I just made a run in on a big table interview, and
yeah,
all the guys were like new or saying, so we have a drinking game. And anytime you say titties, you have to drink. And so everyone's yelling titties. And but like Eric Bischoff and JR and Conrad, they're all like, gosh, what are these people doing? They knew it was something inside. They didn't know. They didn't think that they were just yelling titties at me, because they would have been so nervous. They were like, oh shit, we're going down. We're going down. But they knew it was an inside joke.
It was a good job.
And there was like certain little things that we were doing, and people were popping up and talking and, like, during their interview. And like, they all figured out that we had some kind of family camaraderie, and we're one of the longest shows on the Ad-Free Shows because the guys asked for it. And we just like, it's just like a family. And I love all the guys that tune in. So
that's a huge compliment.
Super fun.
But is there an episode that stands out to you because of a moment or because of a guest? Who's been your favorite?
I don't normally have guests on the show. It really is just the guys that ask to shoot the shit. But every once in a while, if I'm on the road and I'm around my friends, like I'm gonna have the friends. I think it was really cool to have Dustin Rhodes on the show. You know, obviously he didn't drink. He did his whatever, water.
Yeah.
But it was very cool to have him on the show. He's been on a couple of times. I was with him. He has his own student wrestling academy. So I was there. I go and I do his student showcases, and sometimes I commentate, which is awful. Please don't ever listen to it. Mm-hmm. And I was there doing that with him. So it was really cool to have him on the show. So I think that was a highlight. Another highlight was the very beginning of the of Rebels Happy Hour. I built this room, and it was started with nothing. And I had back behind me is a couch bed, day bed, couch, whatever. Yeah. And I was building it on the show, and like they were helping me build it, and like it was just super fun. It was like that's a fun moment on the show.
Oh, that's adorable. Very family. Very family vibe.
Yeah, family vibe, but don't really have your children listen in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. After the kids have gone to bed, family.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do my top 10 tailor-made questions. It's not a speed round. I just want to hear all your wonderful answers. Okay, are you ready?
Okay.
If you could choose a theme song that was based on Rebel, the woman, the real person, not the character, what would your theme song for life be?
AC/DC Shook Me.
Oh, good one. That was easy. You knew.
Oh, it's in my heart. It's in my blood. It's in my
What is your zodiac sign?
Virgo.
Oh, you're a Virgo. Interesting. Do you know offhand, have you chosen the same zodiac sign to be in relationships with, or is there one you're attracted to?
My fiance is a Pisces.
Oh.
But I don't know that I don't know that there's a certain sign that I know that I'm attracted to.
Okay, fair enough. I've got friends that, whether they knew it at the time or they looked back and kind of got more into astrology, they're like, I've always dated Leos. So I'm always kind of interested if you've noticed like a pattern or...
But no, they've all been different, actually. They've all been different. And that kind of says something, because when people ask me my type, I say I don't have a type. I just either... Mm-hmm. I'm either drawn to you or I'm not. And there's like...
Yep.
It doesn't matter on certain things. Like, it's a...
It's connection. An energetic thing. Yes.
This is a thing that I said here about Virgos. It says, I freaking love Virgo women. They're so effortlessly beautiful with a twisted sense of humor. It can be cold-hearted while at the same time putting everyone else before themselves. If you're a Virgo queen, just know that I see you. It was like a...
I love it. And being well-organized about all of those
things. Yes, I do have a little OCD with the organization.
That's okay. That is your Virgo soul. We love this, though. We need Virgos.
I think so.
Well, I'm an Aquarius, so I'm all over the fucking place. So all my friends, my partners, are all earth signs because I need to be fucking grounded. Yeah. I'm an Aquarius sun and a Leo moon and Leo rising. So that's air and fire. So I'm just... Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot for everybody. Do you have a secret supernatural power?
I feel like I do, but I can't think of it right now.
Do you believe in ghosts? And if so, do you have a ghost story?
I do believe in ghosts. And I actually have a demon story.
Ooh.
Yeah. It just came to mind. Because I was just talking about the other night. Because I had a nightmare 2 nights ago, and I felt, and then in my dream, the girl said, it was Sierra, but I'm not friends with Sierra, the artist. Okay. She
was like, my girl Sierra, you know.
She was like, in my dream was like, oh my gosh, there's a bad presence here. I feel it, the energy. And I was like, I do too. And like, all of a sudden I was out. So, but that wasn't, that's not the experience. So there was a time where I was really low in my life. This was like 2013.
Okay.
Or wrestling. I was really low in my life, not knowing, you know, what to do with my life and what was my purpose. I remember waking up. You know how you can feel those ones where you're being held down?
Sleep paralysis, but it's not.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I've had that one. I've had that one before. But I think just because I was in a weak state personally, I literally woke up to me being like lifted up, not like full head, and like it's just my shoulders like being lifted up. Something had a hold of my tongue and was going like this. I could not control it. Like my tongue was going in and out, and I was going, and I like was like couldn't move. Finally, when it let go, I like rushed into I had a roommate rush. She's actually in. She's a formal Jehovah's Witness.
Oh my God.
I rush out, run into her bedroom, and like just like start praying now. We were praying, and just, you know, for all angels to surround us. I felt so comfortable. I felt so comforted and so secure. And I slept in her bed for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
But that was like the craziest experience I have ever been a part of.
I've had that happen. I have had that happen. And I was... I had a low time in my life, and I talked to other spiritual sisters, other girls, like other witchy girls. I went for Reiki, and they went through the list. They're like, if you're at a low time in your life, like that, you're in like this open portal, and like demonic, whether they were once live or they're just dark energy, that's when they go, because literally they prey on the weak. So it's I feel you, sister, and I'm sorry you went through that, but obviously everything's okay. Like it didn't attach to you. It was
along with having those experiences, I am a Christian, and I have a big, strong, firm faith in the God above, mm-hmm. and you know, I believe in just as real, just as Jesus and God is real, so is the devil.
Completely.
That's how I feel about him.
Yeah. No, and I think probably having that faith and having that mindset is what gave you the strength to overcome that experience. And like,
absolutely, absolutely. As soon as we just went into prayer, I mean, it just
crazy,
dissipated.
Isn't it fucking and that was, I already believed in energy, but that I was like, okay, there's so much more than what we know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, okay, so now that we've scared everybody on the podcast, let's talk about nip slip, lip slip, pee, sharding. What's been your most embarrassing moment in the ring? Because we've had them all.
Well, I haven't done all of them in the ring, but I've done all of them.
With all your careers, it makes sense.
Well, and some of them not even on the job.
Just life, it happens.
So what comes to mind is actually not in wrestling, is when I was on stage and it was with Christy Hemme.
No way.
Well, there's two of them, but what happened? Someone fell on stage. It might have been me, ass up, and I had this little skirt, and we were doing a dance routine, and I tripped over some wires, some band equipment, and ass up towards the audience. And then we're trying to keep going, and we're like, someone went off the stage. Because you go in and out of on stage, like different parts. Someone fell off the stage into the drum set. And then we're all trying to dance on stage. It was me, Christy, and another girl named Maggie. And like, I laughing so hard, like pee a little on stage as well. Because I'm trying to do the moves and I cannot stop laughing because things have just happened. It's just one of those shows where you're like, nothing goes right.
Yeah.
Nothing goes right. But thank goodness nobody was in the audience, so it didn't really matter. We just were like, I have peed a little bit in the ring too, like in my man, when you go off that top rope and like get a big bump, sometimes there's just no
It's a rite of passage.
No Kegel can repair you.
You heard it here. It's a rite of passage of a female professional wrestler. You can do all the Kegels in the world, but you're not working hard enough if you haven't peed a little bit in the ring.
Right?
Okay, what is your professional wrestling pet peeve?
I still appreciate when a new person comes, that they introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I still appreciate that, and I notice when they don't. And I don't... I notice, but I don't hold it against them because I know it is very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fine line of, like, you know, looking too comfortable and also being respectful. But I mean, I think we know the difference, and I still appreciate that.
I do too, because there's so many people, and it's just such a small thing, but it goes a long way. It's like remembering someone's name. It just gives you the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah.
What movie changed your life?
I feel very affected by The Color Purple.
Ah, I've never seen that movie.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
That's why I connected at a young age when that movie came out, but I was obsessed with the music. I was obsessed with the characters. I was obsessed with the feeling. There's so many feelings, and I truly think that Oprah should have got an Oscar for that role. But it's such a great movie. Danny Glover's amazing. Whoopi Goldberg's amazing. The girl who played Miss Seeley, amazing. I mean, it just, I don't know why I feel so connected to that movie, but it stuck with me my entire life. I don't like to watch movies more than once. And this one I can watch over and over and over and over again.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so that says everything then. Okay, who is your favorite band or artist?
So I have a hard time playing with favorites because...
Well, what are you listening to the most right now?
Well, that's hard to tell because a Pandora station based on a song like doesn't really tell you. But so I have my Pandora station is called Latch Radio DJ Premier Remix featuring Sam Smith. So it's based off of Sam Smith. No, wait, not Sam Smith. Latch. Does he sing? Yeah. He sings Latch.
Sam Smith.
And that's my Pandora station. But I'm a big music lover because of my dance background. I believe that the music is therapy, and it depends on my mood. I love country. I love rock. I love pop. I just
You're an eclectic.
I love R&B. I love Miguel.
I love Miguel. Yep.
Yeah, I love AC/DC and I love Miguel. Most of the time on the airplanes, I'm listening to Miguel.
On repeat. New Miguel or original Miguel? Because he did a big, kind of flip with the sound of his music. Because his first album was very 90s R&B, and then it is still R&B, but it's a little bit more poppy. But I love both.
I listened to three of his albums, and they're all on. And it's a Kaleidoscope. And then there's the Sure Thing one, and then there's there's another one that I listen to. There's three albums that I listen to, and not every song, but I don't know why. It just
puts me in the zone. That's it. All right. Who was your most embarrassing crush of all time? Mine was Mark Wahlberg. It's not that embarrassing, but it's just Marky Mark, you know.
Yeah. I guess I had a crush on Brad Pitt growing up, but that's not embarrassing.
No.
I would assume it would be someone who's really funny and not great looking, but right. I can't think of who that is.
That's because completely.
I love to laugh. So,
well, if for example, Harley Cameron, when she was on the show, her most embarrassing crush was Brock from Pokemon. A cartoon character, because she's a nut.
Oh, by the way, she and I, we love each other, and we have been good friends before she got into wrestling. So,
no way.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite people.
Okay, we all need to hang out. That's what's going to have to happen.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. So. Okay, where can all our listeners find you on the social media lands?
Social media, it's Rebel Tanea at it's Instagram and Twitter, which is at RebelTanea. Rebel Tanea.
Beautiful. Okay, last one. Finish this lyric. If you could be the cash, I'll be the rubber band.
I'd be the
match. You got it. I will be the fuse. Boom.
The yin and the yang, or you're the macaroni to my cheese, but even though that's not one of the lyrics.
It is now. Okay, everyone who's followed my journey knows I'm a massive Zach Bryan fan, so anyone from Oklahoma instantly makes me a super fan. But truly, I've been following Rebel's career for a much longer time than she's actually been in wrestling. I truly remember her when she was part of the Lingerie Football League. Even though it wasn't my cup of tea back then, I did think it was pretty fucking cool. And I hope you guys are enjoying all the talent, all the star-studded superstars that we are bringing to the Wild On Podcast weekly. If you want access to the Wild On Podcast early when we get Wild On Wednesdays, sign up to the Impact Insiders subscription over at YouTube, and you can have access on Tuesdays. That's right, Taylor Wilde Tuesdays. Speaking of doing things, I would not be able to do this podcast without my badass punk rock girl band, the Wild On Team. I have my right-hand woman, my queen, editor, and producer, the unspoken yin to my yang, Rochelle Duras, and our sister who does the things that we don't understand how to do, the amazing marketing on the interwebs, Madison Gulshani. Thank you. I love you guys. And until next week, keep calm and wild on. Blessed be.